Welcome, friend. Here we are on the last day of May, and you know what that means, don't you? It's National Heat Awareness Day. And I'm really thankful for that one, because you know what? I didn't even notice it was hot as balls out here. Thanks for making me aware of it. In fact, if you hadn't made a holiday to remind me, I'd be walking around in a goddamn snowsuit. Thanks, Amelia. Yeah, I know it's nice and cool in your bog, Chester, but I make it a point not to bathe in alligator shit. Sorry for the language, friend. Come on in. The weather's nicer in here. All right. You know, this whole thing reminds me of SimplyScaryPodcast.com. You can sign up as a patron there and get their entire catalog dating back to 2012, ad-free and available to download or stream. It's easy. Just click on the patrons thing and make it happen. And hey, check out patreon.com/DrewBlood, too. Help your old pal pay for the AC. So tonight, we're joined by a new author to the show, Chris Ollinott, by way of our friends at Velox Books. This one comes from his book, Gathering Darkness, which you can find at veloxbooks.com. So, without further delay, from author Chris Ollinott, I give you Coming Home. Ty woke with a jolt. For one terrible moment, he could still feel the oily barrel of Lenny Dallas's automatic pressed to his forehead. He rubbed at the spot, and his breathing started to slow as he looked out into the hallway through the open bedroom door. Everything was silent, and with no electricity, the only light came from the failing streetlight outside and the cell phone on the nightstand reading 4:30. Beside him, Shauna still slept peacefully, lost in the strange, Percocet-flavored world she would doubtless tell him all about in the morning. Ty looked at her sagging green panties and the way she had tangled herself up with the sheets and felt an urge to gather her to him, both to protect her and take comfort in her warmth. Protect her? Like you protected Reagan? He frowned at the unwelcome thought and then dismissed it. Reagan was a long time ago. Shauna was who he was with now. She was who he had to worry about. With one finger, he touched a calf that was sticking out from a tangle of sheets and lightly followed the outline of Betty Page that was tattooed there. When they first met, he used to trace the delicate, vibrant tattoos that covered her body with his tongue. He loved following their curves and the sensual thrill that Shauna had taken from it. Now, as her skin had paled and taken on the waxy hue of serious addiction, the designs looked tired, and poor Betty, whose inky lips he had tasted in moments of passion, looked depressed. He brought his hand to rest on her ass and left it there, feeling her breathe. The warmth of her at least was comforting in the dark. She gave a loud snore and shifted under the sheets. He smirked. The pills didn't have that printed in their list of side effects. Caution may cause loss of sensuality, as you'll sound like a rusty chainsaw when you sleep. Suddenly, Ty wanted to shove Shauna hard, to roll her off the bed, to shock her. He took his hand away, took a breath, and counted to 10 in his head. There was a big reckoning coming over Shauna's drug use, but 4 in the morning was not the time to do it, especially when there were bigger pressures closing in around the two of them. And it's not all her fault, you asshole. There was truth in that as well. He gave Shauna's ass a gentle squeeze, then turned over and went back to sleep. Ty pulled the sheets up and tried to ignore the sound. It was probably something going on outside anyway. At least, he tried to convince himself of that. His sleep had been dreamless and restful for once, and he wasn't about to let it go easily. Except that it was coming from inside the house. He got up and padded into the hall, rubbing his eyes with the heel of his hand. Looking over the rail into the dark foyer below, Ty listened for the sound to come again. If he was lucky, it would be the cops. They might get turned out for squatting, probably fined too, though he was sure they'd left no trace of their entry. If it wasn't the cops, though. Christ, what are we doing here? He was fully awake now and cursing himself for thinking they had found a temporary respite from their problems. If being on the run had taught Ty anything, it was that he was reckless. Not fearless, not stoic. Reckless. Reckless people did stupid things. Being reckless was what led him from a bad position selling dope to a worse position, owing for dope. And that led to the position he was in right now, where being busted by the cops for trespassing was the least of his worries. He crept down the stairs, holding the railing. If he tripped in the dark and broke something, he'd be as good as dead. Going to an emergency room would be the same as putting an ad on TV advertising their location. As the dark banister slid beneath his hand, his thoughts drifted back to his brief but happy time with Reagan here. They had fixed his staircase together. That had been one of the best weekends and had ended with the two of them covered in sawdust, drinking beer on the bottom step, and later making earnest, exhausted love on the living room floor. 4 months later, everything had gone to shit.
You're hurting me.
When the banks collapsed in 2007, Ty's occasional drug use had developed into a full-time career. But the money he made selling the stuff was nowhere near enough to get out from under two crippling mortgages. It wasn't even enough to pay down a maxed out line of credit and 6 different credit cards. He had had to walk away from the house he and Reagan had considered their forever home.
Please, Ty, please.
Losing the house had been like pulling the plug in a boat. Everything started going down. Within weeks of the default, Reagan was gone too. He burned friends and family on short-term loans that went straight up his nose. Soon, everything that Ty had been working for, everything he'd been, was completely gone. What happened next was completely unexpected. With nothing left to lose, he had had nothing left to prove. It was as if he had been bound in a straitjacket that he couldn't feel, only to be released from it one day, and realize then that he had been trapped. Being nothing was by far more intoxicating than anything he had ever peddled out of his car. The only person he owed anything to now was himself. And Leonard Dallas, of course. He had sold the last of his coke and kept all the cash, including Dallas's cut. Leonard Dallas, Ty knew, would give less than a shit about his new outlook on life.
Hurting me?
Ty left town. He had never talked about his past in front of the boss. Dallas knew he was from back east and nothing else. The gangster would eventually track him down, but staying where the risk of getting busted was sky high made the plan just crazy enough to work. For a little while, at least. Or had it? Were Dallas's men just outside? Maybe Dallas had sent Gerard after him. That skinny psycho scared Ty almost as much as Dallas did. Ty stared at the door. It hadn't moved. The padlock was holding firm. And the sound wasn't coming from the jimmy door at the back of the house either. He was scanning the living room, which was barely visible in the light that filtered through the boards on the window. A thought occurred to him. He ran back upstairs to the bedroom and looked inside. The bed was empty, and a pale blue glow was coming from the ensuite toilet. Shauna must be in there. She was forever running down her battery using the cell phone as a flashlight. He had told her over and over that there was no way to charge the thing in the house. Still, the noise had unnerved him a little, and he was glad to find her awake. "Shauna!" he called. There was no answer. He walked into the room.
"Babe, you there? You hearing this noise?"
"Nothing." Ty went to the bathroom door. The phone was in there. Shauna wasn't. Still holding the phone, he ran back downstairs, forgetting his caution as annoyance turned to worry. If she was sleepwalking again, he reached the kitchen and stopped. The silence had coalesced into a dull and viscous hum. A car went by outside, and Ty jumped. Shauna wasn't down here either. His mind was churning. Normally, the oxy made her sleep straight through the night. But once or twice before, she had gone sleepwalking. There had been a brutal time a while back in Lubbock, Texas. They were holed up in a $60 motel room with a coin slot on the bed and grease stains on the wall. Their second night, Ty had woken to find the door open and Shauna gone. When he finally found her, she was naked and wading ever deeper into the algae-choked muck that used to be a swimming pool. He had shaken her roughly awake, and she had freaked out, screaming and clawing at him with her ragged, junky nails. It had taken an hour to get her to calm down and longer to get her back to bed. Ty hoped this wasn't another episode like that. Right now, though, he just wanted to find her. The banging came again, and his breath caught at the back of his throat. It was coming from the basement. His heart, already racing, began pounding in his ears. Now that he could hear the sound more clearly, he had a bitter, gnawing sensation that he had heard the same noise before, and that he should recognize it. He opened the basement door and paused for a second. The streetlights coming through the boards on this level made it possible to see what was in front of him. In the cellar, it would be pitch black. What the hell was she doing down there? He realized at that moment that he was still holding Shauna's phone. With a tap of the screen, the phone lit up, and he could see the top two stairs directly in front of him. At the very least, he wouldn't break his neck before he found out what was going on. The steps creaked as he started down. That noise mixed with a fresh round of banging, and the final pieces of the memory he'd been chasing clicked together. Reagan. It couldn't be.
You're hurting me.
As if conjured by the thought of her name, Ty's last night in this house began to play out again, as it had in his nightmares ever since. He was high. He was always high now. It was the only thing that made sense to him, and the only thing, Reagan concluded, that gave him any relief from the increasing pile of shit he was facing. Where was it? Ty kicked aside the two moving boxes he had already torn apart into the darkest corner of the basement. Halfway through a third, he finally found a jewelry box. The tiny oak and ebony chest had sat on their dresser in the old house. Here, they were still finishing the renovations before they got the rest of the unpacking done. There was a tiny pewter key. Thankfully, it hadn't fallen out. Ty turned the key, and there, on top, was Great Granny's diamond necklace. He lifted it out.
What are you doing?
He jumped. When he turned, he saw Reagan wearing the sad little frown that dominated her expression so much these days.
I'm selling these.
Fuck it, he thought. No need to deny it now.
They're not yours to sell.
There wasn't the slightest bit of warmth in her voice.
You make me sick, Ty. Put those down.
And what do you suppose we'll do for money then, Reagan, huh?
His temper, never far away when he was high, raged now. Reagan, to his surprise and increasing anger, didn't back down.
Maybe, Ty, if you sold more of that shit than you put up your nose, we wouldn't be in this position. Put those down now!
She yelled the last, matching his intensity. He had been in the process of slipping the necklace into his pocket. Now he flung it at her. She flinched and he lashed out with a fist, catching her high in the chest. Something snapped then. He wasn't even seeing Reagan anymore. His body had tasted what it was to hurt something, and he liked it. All the injustice, all the impotence he had felt, came rushing out of him, and he threw punch after punch. Reagan stumbled back. Her head hit the water tank with a dull thud.
Please,
she said through sobs.
Please, Dad, you're hurting me.
It was such an absurd thing to say that it caused him to pause for a moment. But it was too late. The mixture of drugs and adrenaline had whipped him into a frenzy that couldn't be stopped now. He screamed and threw himself forward. The cellar reverberated with the sound of bone meeting metal. He shook his head. Over. Everything was over. Reagan was over. The stairs groaned as they took his weight. Cracked linoleum bit at his bare feet as he walked down. The flashlight picked out a hard white circle that shone on random details. A steel pillar. The gaping hole of a lidless drain. His old workbench. The sound was louder now, coming from the far corner, where the water heater stood. Ty took a deep breath. His sense of dread was nearly paralyzing, but he forced himself forward. A moment later, the light picked out a naked thigh, with a faded tattoo of Betty Page winking back at him. Shauna was facing the corner, wearing only the sagging green panties she had been sleeping in. Again and again, she slammed her forehead into the side of the hot water tank. There was a large bloody smear at the point of contact. He came around to the side and shone the light at her face. Shauna's eyes were rolled up to the whites. Her jaw hung slack. Ty felt sick. It wasn't as if she was about to knock herself unconscious. She was already unconscious. There was a terrible impression of concavity to her brow, but it was hard to make out anything in the mass of swelling, bruises, and flowing blood that had replaced his lover's face. She reared back to butt the heater again.
"Stop!"
he shouted, putting a hand out to catch her forehead as it swung. She kept going and mashed his hand back against the metal. He cried out, then grabbed Shauna by the shoulders and shook her.
"Wake up! For God's sake, wake up!"
Shauna's eyes flew open, and she screamed. It was a feral, primal sound. Her hand came up into the light, holding the adjustable chrome wrench from his tool bench. The thing was the size of a baseball bat and had been his best friend when he used to screw around fixing his car. He hadn't been able to find it before the move and had regretted leaving it behind. Now, here it was again, swinging two-handed in a heavy arc towards his face. Ty threw up a hand and caught Shauna's wrist. She was shaking with the effort to hit him and screaming, still screaming. The wrench was wobbling back and forth.
"Shauna, babe, it's me!"
he screamed. She pulled free, swung hard, and connected with his jaw. The basement went darker. Ty woke up. His jaw was throbbing in time with his pulse. He touched his face and withdrew his fingers with a wince. The flesh there felt spongy and hot. The phone screen was still glowing beside him, but was now starting to grow dim. He stood up and staggered back to the stairs. He could see bloody footprints stamped on the linoleum all the way up. Shauna, what the fuck? Upstairs, the front door was open. Pieces began to come together in his mind. It was the drugs. Had to be. Something inside Shauna's head had finally gone bad. At some point during her episode, she must have crossed the final border between sleepwalking and psychosis. There was no sign of her having gone outside. How far could she have gone with her face in such a disastrous state? It was a wonder she'd still been on her feet when he had found her, let alone strong enough to attack him. So where was she? He stepped outside on the cold interlocking brick walkway. The street was empty, but he felt horribly exposed. There was no blood out here. His brain, so recently rattled, was trying to catch up to the moment and reason out what he was seeing. If Shauna was still in the grip of her nightmares, she couldn't have reasoned well enough to go upstairs. get the padlock key from his pocket and return downstairs with it to open the hasp and leave. If she had woken up, she'd almost certainly be lying somewhere, screaming in pain with what she had done to herself. So, if Shauna hadn't opened the door, Dallas. It had to be Dallas's men. Ty went back into the house and sprinted up the stairs two at a time. He stopped dead in front of the bedroom door. There was blood on the floor. Every part of him wanted to flee, to get in his car and drive until everything started to make sense again. But he wouldn't get far in just his boxers. He had a clear mental picture of his key ring sitting in its usual place, in the front right pocket of his jeans. With luck, his wallet would be in the back pocket, and he could just grab the pants and get out of here. His heart was pounding. In the muted light from the window, he saw that his pants were crumpled by the side of the bed near the bathroom floor. Without another thought, he ran into the room, intent on grabbing the jeans. The silence of the room was split with a bowel-chilling scream of rage behind him. He whipped his head around to see Shauna staggering out of the bathroom. Blood had poured over her skin, coating her breasts, belly, and panties. Her face was like rotten liver, and her mouth gaped open in its moment of feral triumph. He put an arm up to defend himself as she swung the wrench again. Pain, like liquid lightning, shot through his arm as the bone shattered. The blow had enough momentum that the head of the wrench still connected with the top of his head, leaving him dazed. He sat down hard. His own blood started flowing, running into his eyes. With his uninjured hand, he tried to clear it and realized there were bright spots blooming there as well. He was going to pass out. If he did, he'd die. Shauna reared back for another attempt.
Enough.
It was another woman's voice. In his semi-conscious state, Ty couldn't recognize the speaker, but whoever it was had attracted Shauna's wrath away from him. She screamed again. Ty passed out to the sound of the wrench hitting bone. When Ty came to, he was lying in bed. His injured arm, now swollen to the size of a roast beef, lay on his stomach. His jaw was throbbing, and his head felt worse. The pillow felt sticky against his cheek. Shauna. Where was Shauna? He turned his head, wincing and fighting through waves of pain. There, beside the bed, was the mangled ruin that had been his girlfriend. Mercifully, she was face down in a puddle of her own blood and hair. Something touched his injured arm, and he screamed.
Welcome home, lover.
The voice was the second woman he had heard before everything went black. There was a low chuckle, and then...
She seemed nice.
As Ty rolled over, he knew what he was going to see, though his whole being screamed against it. Reagan was lying next to him, a cold, white hand on his arm. She was naked. Even her face was unblemished. Outside of all rational thought, his body began to respond to her touch. She brought her other hand to rest on his chest. It was still holding the bloody wrench.
How?
Was what he wanted to say, nothing came out. Reagan seemed to understand anyway.
You left me here, Ty. Left me in our dream house. Our house.
He worked his lips, trying to form sounds. Nothing was working. Reagan laid a finger on his lips.
It is our forever home. Remember?
Ty nodded.
Well, darling.
She cooed, still using the same calm, almost sensual tone.
I came back to look for you when we got separated. And when you didn't come, I decided to wait.
Ty's voice broke loose of his trembling lips.
I killed...
You broke my heart,
said Reagan.
But now you're back, and we can be happy again. Forever.
Shauna,
Reagan smiled. It was a smile he had seen countless times before, when she had pointed out something that should be blatantly obvious to him. He had always thought of it as her, "Oh, you silly boy," smile.
I told you I've been waiting, Ty. I've only had our house to talk to. And after a while, it listened.
She smiled again.
Not long after that, it started talking back.
Reagan touched the end of his nose. He stifled a scream.
It didn't like being left alone either,
she said, stroking the wall.
We're friends now.
With a sudden flicker of movement, like the stutter of a television signal, Reagan was suddenly standing next to Shauna's body.
Your friend heard us talking, I think.
Reagan shoved the corpse with her foot. Shauna's body was limp and moved away from the ground with a horrible squelching sound. Looking back at him, Reagan said,
I don't think she was all that stable, Ty.
She took her foot away and Shauna's body fell back against the sodden carpet with an almost soundless thump.
I found her in the basement. This place is full of memories. And she got kind of trapped down there. Though what she could have been seeing, I couldn't say.
A flicker. Reagan was back in bed with him.
Do you have any idea what she saw?
Ty shook his head. She sighed.
Whatever it was, I think it broke her mind.
She smiled and looked Ty in the eye. Her irises had become so pale blue they were almost white.
Lucky for you, I stopped her before she broke yours.
Suddenly, Ty was aware of footsteps downstairs. There were at least two people walking around on the hardwood.
Check it out and call in.
What if he's here?
Kill him and call in. Gerard said to call either way.
Ty tried to sit up. Reagan pushed him back. Her hands were like ice coated in silk.
Where are you going, Ty?
She asked. He was frantic, but there was no time to waste. But what could he do? Reagan frowned.
Don't leave me again, Ty. Don't.
The steps grew louder. They were coming up the stairs. Reagan seemed to notice.
I see. Your friends are here.
Yeah,
cried Ty, trying to keep his voice as low as possible.
They're going to kill me, Reagan.
She smiled.
That's wonderful, Ty.
He stopped moving.
What?
They'll have guns, right?
He nodded.
Then someone will hear, and eventually, they'll come take the bodies away.
Leaning in, she kissed him on the mouth with hard, implacable lips. She seemed to be sucking the breath out of him. When she broke the kiss, she whispered in his ear,
"Then it can just be you and me again, in our forever home."
"I hear something up here," the voice came from the top of the steps. Tears started rolling down Ty's cheeks. He looked at Reagan and whispered, "I don't want to die." Reagan's body flickered once more, and she was straddling him.
"In the bedroom. Let's go."
"Make love to me, Ty."
I can't," he wanted to say. His body said otherwise. She flickered, and they were together.
"Be with me, Ty,"
she moaned, moving her hips.
"Let go of your fear."
Metal on metal clicking, a bullet being chambered.
"Love me, Ty. Love me now."
Ty closed his eyes and reached out to his wife. She clasped her fingers around his. And that was Coming Home by author Chris Olinod. A little about the author. Chris Olinod lives and works in Winnipeg, Manitoba, with his wife and two children. He holds a BA from McMaster University and a diploma in acting from Ryerson University. Many of Chris's stories explore themes of isolation and fear of the unknown, though not all fit nicely into one single genre. Chris first started writing for publication in 2007. His short story, The Dirt on Ronnie Wilkins, won the 2008 Toronto Star National Short Story Competition. Thanks, Chris, and thanks to our friends at Velox Books for bringing him to us. We hope y'all check out his book, Gathering Darkness, at veloxbooks.com.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. And don't worry, we'll have a nice long visit pretty soon. Just as soon as I get done with this audiobook. Stay tuned. I'd like to say hello and give a big welcome to four of my newest patrons. Keisha 86, Jake Thompson, Allison Henson, and Jeremy Scott. Hey guys, I really appreciate y'all joining up. It means a lot to me and Old Chester. Thank you. And may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Don't be breaking your shin on a stool that's not in your way. And, of course, go fuck yourselves. Good night, y'all.